appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect.
For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith, if service, in our serving, the one who teaches, in his teaching, the one who exhorts, in his exhortation, the one who contributes, in generosity, the one who leads, with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness.
Let love be genuine, abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good, love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor, do not be slothful in zeal, be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer, contribute to the needs of the saints, and seek to show hospitality.
Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For so, by doing, you heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Romans 12.
I have thoroughly enjoyed hearing the different people read Romans 12 each week, and I hope we've heard from many of you that you have as well. Today, to have four of our children read it, it's a nice reminder that Romans 12 is meant to be a simple command. It's not difficult in the sense of understanding, but it might be difficult in living it out. And I'm thankful that we have some kids who would stand up here and share this important truth with you this morning. If you are visiting with us today, or you're new, or maybe you've not been in a while, we are in week 6 of a series through Romans chapter 12. And this entire chapter is all about practical faith and purposeful living. So we're on a journey that's really designed to challenge and inspire us to live the grace of Jesus among our family, among our friends, our coworkers, our enemies, among our faith family, among our neighbors. So I want to quickly give you a review of the first 5 weeks. What we've decided to do with this entire series is not to complicate it. The idea is that you walk away with one short sentence that you could understand and remember each week, and that we can apply in our lives each week. So here is a recap of the first few weeks. First, true worship begins in the head and the heart, but it leads to the hands and the home. If your worship is just music, if it's just in your head and it never leads to action, the scripture would show us in multiple places, including at the very beginning of Romans 12, that that's not true worship. Worship always leads to the hands. It always leads to the home. We learn quickly in the next verse in Romans that we renew our minds. And the way we are to renew our minds is to read the Word of God and reduce the world in our lives. So a number of us have taken a challenge to do just that this summer, to read the Word of God consistently and to try to reduce the input of the world in our minds. Then the next week was sort of a pivotal week for us in a lot of ways. We handed out work gloves, and the simple idea that we learned from the scripture about spiritual gifts, that spiritual gifts always come with work gloves. If you are a believer, you have a supernatural gift given to you by the Holy Spirit. But the supernatural gift is not the gift of pew sitting. That was never the gift. God's called you to some sort of action in your community, in your neighborhood, to use that gift to edify the body of Christ and to glorify God himself, and that others might come to know him. So we live it out. We put our work gloves on and we get about using the gifts that God has given us. We had a quote from Bob Goff that says this: Jesus doesn't want us merely to agree with him. He wants us to do what he said. And he said he wants us to love everybody always. It's not enough to say I agree with the Bible. We need to do what it says. And so we moved into the next part of the verse, which was so important. It's where we came up with the name for the entire series, and that is outdo one another in showing honor. You see, if we can make it a goal to love and to honor people more than anyone in the room, you'll find Jesus every time. Whatever room you go into, if it's at home in the living room, if it's at work in the office, if it's at Walmart, if it's at Foodland, if it's at school, wherever it is, any room you walk into, just simply say, by Jesus' grace and help, I'm going to outdo everybody else in this room by showing honor and love to people in this room. Listen, we'll be more like him every single time we do it. Then we move forward and we realize that there's a difference in loving God with your heart, your soul, and your mind, and loving God with all of your heart and all of your soul and all of your mind. The idea of being fervent in spirit is about boiling. That's the real meaning of the word, in the Holy Spirit as we serve the Lord. We used a quote from Jim Elliot that says this: wherever you are, be all there. Live to the hilt every situation you believe to be the will of God. Wherever you find yourself, live on purpose in that moment, boiling in the Holy Spirit for those around you. Live that for the Lord. And then last week, Justin did an excellent job. I watched online as we were away on vacation, and I noticed something very strange. Whenever I watch myself online to kind of see how things went, the camera makes me gain 50 pounds, but it didn't make him gain anything. I don't understand. So what happened? But that's just my take on that. But last week, I've never confused the two before. Where is he, Justin? Sorry. Sorry, buddy. Last week, Justin brought a beautiful message and a point home. It's simple. Jesus is enough. Jesus is enough. Listen, that's the truth for your life and for mine. And thank you for doing such a great job with God's word last week. So that brings us this week to verse 13. If you'll turn Romans chapter 12, verse 13. This is so simple today, but it's important that we hit on it and talk about it together. Verse 13, contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. One verse. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. This does not say, if you have the gift of generosity, give to the needs of the saints. It's not what it says. Paul did not say, if you have the gift of hospitality, be hospitable. That's not what it says. It says, contribute to the needs of the saints and do your best to show hospitality. In other words, be purposeful in showing kindness and hospitality, being welcoming to those that are in your life. This simple and direct verse can really be applied very easily to your personal life and to our faith family. And we want to apply it both ways very quickly. First of all, your personal life. It's simple. Make a goal to meet the needs of other believers. Contribute to the needs of the saints. How do you do that personally? We do so by serving and by giving. I would encourage you to start with the saints in your home. You say, well, are there no saints in my home? Yes, there are saints. Anyone who knows Jesus is a saint. It's scriptural. It's there. There's only saints and ain'ts, and you either is a saint or you ain't one. And if you know Jesus, you're a saint. That's good theology, bad English, but that's okay. You are a saint. Scripture's clear. It's positional righteousness. It's what God has done in your life. So we contribute to the needs of the saints, even in your home. How about in your neighborhood? Would you ask yourself this morning, how can I contribute to the needs of someone in my home? Now, I realize you probably already are, but I mean going above and beyond in some way that you could glorify God by contributing to the needs, by serving or giving to someone in an unsuspecting way, maybe in your home or in your neighborhood. Make a plan and take action. It really is just that simple. And then in your personal life, seek to show hospitality. Make it a goal to show hospitality. Now, what does it mean to be hospitable? If you look up the definition, I did, looked it up in a Bible dictionary, I looked it up in Webster's dictionary. It's basically the idea that you become a welcoming person. You are helpful and welcoming. Now, all over the world, when we've been on mission and we are in different languages and different culture groups, it is very fun to learn the way they greet one another and how it's done. And I'll tell you, in different parts of Africa, there are different handshakes in the way you hug and words that you say. In Central America, there are certain ways you would greet with phrases and the Quechua language, or and then even the Spanish language. It's different cultures and different countries, Portuguese and Brazil. The different ways you say hello, the different ways you bring a greeting of welcome. One of my favorites is from the many trips that we have made as a family and then several of you on mission to Ghana, West Africa. And the Ewe language, just the Ewe people, the way they would welcome you is very specific. And they would use a word, I think it's cool to say. The word is wizo. Now you have to bring the Z out, so it's wizo. It means you are welcome. Not thank you, you're welcome, but you are welcome in my life. You are welcome here. So the first thing when you pull up in your vehicle and you start to unload, there's always a group of adults, pastors and pastors' wives standing there to say wizo to you. They look you right in the eye, they shake your hand, they hug your neck, they give a little bow of deference, and then they grab your suitcase, put it on your head, and carry it up the flights of stairs to your room for you. Now, I'm not talking about the people that work in the hotel. I'm talking about your new friends you've come to meet. They are welcoming. So it's wizzo. I'll teach you a new Ewe word. Everyone say wizzo. Wizzo. Now don't say wizzo. That's not it. Okay? That's some wizzo. Now there, you learned an Ewe word. You learned something today, but think of that. It's a way to be, it's more than just saying, it's nice to see you or hello. It's you are welcome. You are safe and welcome in my life. It means something more. And I would encourage you to think when it comes to your personal life, the way you could have your own little wizzo experience, the way you could be very welcoming. Maybe in your home, there is constant tension in your home. If that's the case, dear friend, I would tell you, you are not living out verse 13. There's got to be some hospitality there, even among those who live there. We seek to be welcoming of our family, welcoming of those near us. I'll tell you a practical way that my family has determined to live out as we've been trying to figure out things about this chapter, but because I love this chapter and I love that we're studying it this summer. But Lily and I just made a goal at the beginning of the summer, because the summer just gets away from you and you get so busy and all those, I wish we could do this and it never happens, and I wish we could do this and it never happens. So we just made a goal that we were going to be hospitable all summer. We were going to invite people into our home at least once a week to have a meal with us and just to fellowship different people. It's been great. Now, it would be real easy. You may say, well, Chris, I can't do that. My carpet's dirty. Well, come to my house. The carpet is stained, I'm telling you. You may say, well, my walls aren't painted very nice. Come to my house. We've got nice paint on the walls, but even just a week and a half ago, I walked into the living room and our new recliner is broken, and it's I think there was some Cirque du Soleil practice or something happening in the living room, or a professional wrestling match. But whatever happened, the recliner's broken. It would have been real easy to say we can't bring people into our home to see that, or to see the carpet, or to see this. But no, here's what we've realized: people don't care about that stuff. They don't. If you will just be welcoming to people, and even if they do, you just give them something to talk about when they're gone. It's not that big of a deal. I don't know what they say, but I, you know, it doesn't matter. So I would encourage you, you say, but that's hard to step out of your comfort zone. One of the most beautiful things we've done, just last night, we had a family in our home having dinner, and only one of the several that came spoke English. And so this one would interpret for the rest. It was a fun meal. It was fun because I like to talk. I had lots of questions. That poor lady who was doing all the interpreting, she didn't get to eat hardly, but I love to discuss back and forth. And we had a wonderful time celebrating together with this family that's part Guatemalan and part Dominican, and to share with this family. And then at the end of the night, what a special moment for Lily and I as they were about to leave for the gentleman and the husband in this family to stop. And then he in Spanish says to his wife, and then she says to us, he wants to pray. We want to pray together before we go. Let me tell you what, it was sweet fellowship. It was special. You know how much trouble it was? It would have been easy to say, we can't do it. Chair's broken. We can't do it. Carpet's bad. We can't do it. Are we going to be able to communicate? It was great fellowship. It just took a purposeful action to say, we want to be hospitable to our friends and to make new friends. Can I encourage you? Live out this scripture personally. Invite someone to your home. Invite someone to have a cup of coffee with you. Find a way to be hospitable to those around you, to your neighbors, to your friends. I would encourage you to do so. Now, I want to take this a little step further and really focus the next few moments on how to live out, contribute to the needs of the saints, and seek to show hospitality in our faith family, in our entire church. There's a simple phrase I would say to you. It might seem a little harsh, but I'm going to say it because it's true. My challenge to you as a faith family is this. If you want to know how to contribute to the needs of the saints, and you want to know how to seek to show hospitality, I would say this. Don't be a consumer. Be a contributor. Don't be a consumer. Be a contributor. The best way I can illustrate this is this. In this room, there are a lot. Now, I don't want to hear any hooping and hollering. Just keep it civil right here, right now. In this room, and I mean that. In this room, there's a lot of Alabama fans. And hold it down, hold it down. And there's a lot of Auburn fans. Y'all keep it together, okay? There's even one or two patient, long-suffering Tennessee fans. There are fans of football in this room. Why? Because Alabama's a great state to be a football fan in. Amen. No, anyway, that's a different story. But it is. But I just get tickled how many times I've heard friends say, "Well, we won a national championship. Well, we won 11. Well, we won, you know, whatever. We won this or that." I always want to say, "Did you buy a ticket to every game? Did you pay tuition? Did you get on the field? Because if not, we didn't win anything." No offense, you can be an incredible fan, but you don't qualify as part of the team. When they gave out those championship rings, there's some men in this room that have one. They're not giving you their ring just because you like the team. The truth is, we didn't do it. So you can be a great fan, but not qualify as part of the team. Now, if you're a first-time guest or a second-time guest here, what I'm about to say is not really for you. We're glad you're here. I want you to hear it as I talk to our faith family, but let me talk to them for just a moment. This is for regular attenders and members right now. The scripture says to contribute to the needs of the saints. So I would ask you, it doesn't say consume the resources of the saints. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Are you a consumer or a contributor here at Albertville First Baptist Church? I'm not talking about guests. I'm talking about our regular attenders and members. Are you a fan of this church? We do all kinds of good stuff. Or are you an active part of helping to make that happen? You can be a member and not be a biblical member. You can be a member by our church constitution and that not count for a hill of beans when it comes to being a member of the body of Christ. What I would encourage you to do is this, that I love it when I hear people speak well of our church. I love to hear people say things like, we partner for the gospel's sake all around the world. But my question is this, when we say such things, are you a giver? Do you give to the general offering of Albertville First Baptist Church? Do you give to the Advanced 2020 Fund? The Advanced 2020 Fund is the only way we fund our partnerships in Belize and Brazil and the Dominican Republic, Atlantic City, Philadelphia, Kyrgyzstan, Dubai, Lebanon, Uganda, Senegal, and Kenya. So we give an extra above and beyond our regular offering to that. We designate and we use that to make a difference in those places. Our general offering in the church is used to fund all the local ministry here. We're a part of the Real Life Crisis Pregnancy Center, the Great Physician Clinic, Second Chance Food Pantry, Christian Women's Job Corps, Room in the Inn, the Marshall Baptist Association. We're a part of the cooperative program. 10% of every dime that comes in, we give to the Southern Baptist Convention to be used for our missionaries around the world, thousands of them. Plus all of the outreach and worship and discipleship and leadership that happens in this facility, all of that happens in our city through this place because of the general offering. So what I would encourage you to stop and ask yourself is this: am I a consumer or a contributor? You may say, but Chris, we don't have money to give. I'm really not trying to encourage you to give some certain amount. But I do want to say that giving, let me just be really clear. This sounds like a cliche statement, but it's true. Giving is not so much a financial matter as it is a spiritual matter. And it's not about the amount. It's about your willingness to be obedient. In fact, just this week, 2 days ago, Dr. Joe McKeever, who has stood in our pulpit and preached several different times, a brilliant thinker and writer, brilliant man, Dr. Joe McKeever put this on his Facebook, and so I quickly stole it, and I give him credit for it. He said this. He said, I meet young couples who tell me, well, we're going to start tithing just as soon as we get all the bills paid and the little money ahead. He said, if we are so that I can talk plainly, I say to them, no, you're not. That's not going to happen. Life is so arranged that we will always have more demands than there is money. So if we are waiting for a time when there will be no struggle, forget it. The truth is, in saying, I'll start tithing when I get all my bills paid and a little money ahead, what we're actually saying is, I'll do it just as soon as I don't have to do it by faith. But Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it is impossible to please God. So you will do this by faith or you will not do it at all. And most will not do it at all if that's what they're waiting for. Luke 18:8, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Friends, I want to encourage you. I don't talk a lot about finances, but it's not because I'm afraid to do so. The truth is, we try to take a passage and just move in order with what it says. And so here we are at Contribute to the Needs of the Saints. And I would say to every regular attender and member in this place, if you are not contributing in some way, no matter, I'm not worried about the amount. If you're not contributing, you are consuming and not contributing. And that is not what it means to be a part of the faith family. So I want to give you an opportunity and ask you to prayerfully consider being obedient to what God has said. Get to be a part of that. One of the greatest blessings for my wife and myself is to partner with different missionaries personally and to partner with this church. We don't ever say, oh, we got to write our tithe check. Oh, we've got to give. It is a blessing to be a part of what God is doing here. Even when money gets tight, even when things are difficult, the truth is we want to be a part of sowing into God's kingdom and be a part of that plan, and I encourage you to do so. Then verse 13 goes on to also say, to contribute to the needs of the saint and seek to show hospitality. How does that apply to our faith family? There are multiple scriptures that tell the same principle. Here's a few. Romans 12:10 says, outdo one another in showing honor. We all have heard this verse many times in the last 6 weeks. Hebrews 13:1 and 2 says, let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers is the idea. Philippians 2:3 and 4 says, in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. The scripture is clear that we're to be hospitable, welcoming, to think of others in high regard, to let them feel welcome that they might come to know the Lord. Well, as a faith family, I want to ask you to begin to see everything we do here through the eyes of a guest. Now, God is up to some good things. It has been a blessing to see what God has been doing even this summer in bringing new families our way. And that's, we have families that are contemplating becoming official members right now who are in their senior adult years, some in their middle adult years, and the young adults. Even in the middle of July, at a time when everyone's on vacation, we had 49 young adults in small group this morning on the third floor. And then we have others that are teaching and leading in different places. God's at work is what I'm saying. But I want to ask you, let's not just settle for saying, well, God's doing something that's great. Everything must be good. I want to ask you as a faith family, let's have a family meeting for a moment. I want to ask you to see everything we do through the eyes of a guest. See everything we do through the eyes of someone who doesn't know what's happening here. Because Tom Rainer said something well, and I want to quote him on it, and that is this: every Sunday is someone's first Sunday. If I could get you in your mind to begin to think of a phrase over and over that would help us in everything we do, every Sunday is someone's first Sunday. It's true. In this place, every Sunday is someone's first Sunday. Imagine inviting someone to your home for the very first time. So you give them an invitation. You don't give them the address. You just give them an invitation. They find your house. They come. They knock on your door. You open your door. You shake their hand. You smile. You welcome them. Say, we're glad you're here. They walk in, and they keep walking, and you close the door and stay at the door. And you've left them. You've not told them where to go sit, where to go. You haven't told them where the living room is, where the restroom is, where the kitchen is. You've not given them any specific instructions of rooms to go in or go out of, but you just stay at the door. And a couple hours later, they just sort of wander back to the door and leave. And you say, thanks for coming. Listen, that would be a terrible experience. Give that a try. That's how you can be hospitable. No, don't. That would be a terrible experience. But we've got to begin to realize we'd never do that at home. So we have to begin to think in terms of how guests come to this place, that we don't want that same experience for them. It's transactional to shake a hand and smile at the door, and that would be all the interaction that they get. Now, I realize we give a lot more interaction than that, but we need to do it on purpose. So let me give some examples of what I'm asking. I'm asking that everything we do here at First Baptist Church, it must be about relationship, a relationship with the Lord, a relationship with other believers. Why? Because we are a community. We are a family. It's what God has called us to be. There are two main ways that we can show hospitality and live out what I believe in a practical way, Romans 12, verse 13, to show hospitality. Two ways. Number one, simple. Treat this place like it's your home. Members and attenders, treat this place like it's your home. I don't mean put your foot up on the pew. That's not what I mean. When I say treat it like it's your home, do what you would do at your house with anyone who interacts in your home that's outside of your family. You smile, you speak, you interact, you introduce yourself. I was recently at a church service that was kind. I'm convinced it was full of kind people, friendly people. But as I came in and sat down, someone spoke at the door. It was a transaction. It was a handshake. Then we made our way. We found our way to where we were supposed to sit. We sat down and sat there for 10 minutes in the most awkward silence, because I forgot as a pastor, because I never go to any church new. I mean, and I never have time to sit down. So I sat there in awkward silence while absolutely no one spoke to us. No one. It was 10 long minutes of a little bit of nervous conversation with the person next to me that was with me. And then service starts. And a few minutes into the service, lo and behold, the pastor said, everybody stand up and speak to everyone. Well, everyone was so friendly. They spoke. They spoke to us. They shook our hand. They hugged. Nobody hugged our neck. They shook our hand and said hello, and then turned to the people they knew and had the next 3 or 4 minutes of conversation with them, and we stood there in awkward silence again. I'm convinced these were very kind people, but they were waiting for someone to give them permission to speak to others around them. Friends, some of you don't like it, some of you haven't even noticed, and some of you are thrilled. But since the beginning of the summer, we've not had a handshaking greeting time. And here's the thing, you don't need my permission to do it. In fact, I would encourage you, if you need permission, I'm gonna give it right now. Starting the second you walk into this room until we start, shake every hand you can find. Hug every neck you can hug. I would encourage you to do so. I promise, from sitting up here and watching, it is an awkward thing sometimes for our guests, because we are very kind and friendly, but it's quickly to move to the people you know, and the others get left out after just a few minutes. So I want to encourage you, don't. If you need permission, I'm giving it and I'm asking. Please shake hands and hug every neck you can. Maybe not hug every neck you can. Some people aren't huggers, but shake every hand you can, and be someone who is kind and generous to all those around. Be hospitable in all things that we do. Treat this place like it is your home. The second thing I would ask you to do, and this is where this may seem strange for a Sunday morning, but it's important. We want to talk about just some housekeeping things. We are launching a new First Impressions team this fall, a much greater encompassing greeter ministry than we even have now. Warren Reed has been so graciously leading our team of about 8 volunteers. They have been a godsend to us for years now. They stand at all of our doors before Sunday school and some after that at the beginning of the service. And they're very good to greet and to smile. They have done a wonderful job, and I'm so thankful for them. So I've asked Warren to help head up a much larger encompassing worship ministry, a greeter ministry that we're going to have at our church. We'll call our First Impressions team. And we're going to try to go, now listen to me, we're going to try to go from 8 committed volunteers who serve faithfully each Sunday to close to 40 serving on a monthly basis. Now, how would we do that? And what does that even look like? And why do we need so many more? Well, first of all, the first thing I would say is this: our message, the message that we want to present here, it begins in the parking lot. That's where it begins. We had a number of leaders in our church to complete a facilities survey that we gave them. It was a number of leaders of mixed ages and all. And we asked them to fill out this little survey. It's an audit of our facilities. And here's what we learned. We do a lot of things well. We do a number of things average, but we really stink when it comes to our signage, of trying to know where you can go and how to get around. If you're fairly new here, you would agree with that. You didn't know what door to come in. You tell people, meet me at the front door. Somebody tell me, what's the front door? We could get into a good old-fashioned church fight over which door is the front door. We got all different. I'll tell you what, if I were to ask you, do this. So without looking at the people around you, get your bearings of where you are. Don't look at anybody around you and what they do, but on the count of 3, point to the front door. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Y'all, see, y'all are a confused bunch of people. That's what I'm saying. So good luck is all I say to our guests. Good luck. What we're going to do is we will actually be... The entire parking lot's being resurfaced. It needs it anyway. That's been on the plans for close to a year with our properties team. That's happening soon. But then there will be new signage that is coming, and we will direct all of our guests to one particular parking lot. And from that, and then we will have all kinds of our continued handicap parking and senior adult parking and all the special things that we do now. We will have all that still in place, but we'll have one area we will encourage guests to go to with a lot of signage and be directed in. We're going to start with 3 volunteers in the parking lot every single Sunday. One in each of our 3 parking lots, the front, the middle, the back. You figure out which is which. But we're going to have some out there. So they're going to be there to greet you, smile, to be there for you. We'll need people to help us with that. Then what we have, our door holder team. That's who we have now. These 8 folks have been phenomenal, but they need help, and we will need more. So we're going to broaden that time from, and we hope they will keep serving, by the way. We don't want to lose anybody we have. They've been great. But we will make it longer at the beginning. We will also go back and be a part before the worship service, and then at the close of the worship service, someone to say goodbye as we leave. A welcome center team that will greatly increase the time they are in our welcome center. A host team, we'll explain that later. A worship center team, that's people in here who are just helping to greet people. And then our wonderful ushers who do a great job every Sunday already anyway. They do such a good job. Now, you say, why would you tell me all this? Here's the reason. Make no mistake about it. Hospitality is a gospel issue. It is. It matters. I can't stress enough that the gospel is at stake here. We want people to feel welcome from the moment they come. You look at any survey from any organization that does surveys like this, and you will find that most people make a determination about the church they're walking into, whether it's going to be a place they can feel welcome and at ease and listen and learn and want to return to and be discipled. They make that decision within the first 10 minutes of arriving in the parking lot. So it matters. This church is full of wonderful people who love Jesus and want to love those around them. We want to make sure everybody else knows it. Listen, there's people in this room, you would say, I love my church. I love our church. Guests do not yet love our church. So let's give them the best of what we got. That's you and me. Let's show them our love and our kindness. It's a gospel issue. And so I want to ask you right now, this is not invitation, we're not going to sing, we will sing in a moment, but for real quick, right now, if you say, I would be interested in once a month helping, there's some requirements, hear me very closely. You've got to be able to smile. I'm not kidding. I didn't say you have to have the most beautiful smile or not. You've got to be able to smile and be friendly. And we have different jobs. You can choose the one you want to serve once a month to help us. We would like to have children all the way up through senior adults because we want to fully reflect who we are as a faith family. Now, we're not going to put but certain people in the parking lot, okay? We'll make sure it's ones who are physically able to do that. We're really looking for young adult men who will serve in the parking lots once a month. But if you would like to say, I'll do this once a month because I want to practice hospitality and I want God to be honored in that way. If that's you, I'm going to ask you right now to take out your worship guide and on the little tear-off there where you can put your name and then it asks for your address. Don't put your address. Just put your name and put first impressions or greeter. And then we'll know. And we'll get you some info to come to a meeting. We're not signing you up for life. It's just to get you info. But would you do that right now? I hope that you will. Some folks, that as we've talked about this, have said there's no way we'll get 40 people to do it. I pray we have to have a waiting list because all of you know how to be friendly. I hear those rips. Keep ripping. I like it. Keep it going. I hear that beautiful sound. Take it out and fill that out right now. Don't let me forget to say what to do with those before we're done, Don, okay? So, but while you're doing that, writing your name in that little phrase, let me simply say this. As we wrap up this one verse and you say, well, what am I supposed to do? Contribute to the needs of the saints. Seek to show hospitality. Here's the next 7 days for you. The next 7 days, remember, we've been challenging each week, memorize the verse. Memorize Romans 12:13. There are some people in this room who every week have been memorizing, and as of right now, you have memorized through verse 12. That is awesome. There are others that you just picked one that really spoke to you. If this is your verse, contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Memorize it so that you can be reminded to put it into practice on a daily basis. Second, this week, for the next 7 days, serve the saints in your life by serving and helping in specific ways. Find a way to be hospitable to people in your neighborhood. Invite a neighbor to dinner. Spend a few moments helping them outside. Do something that shows the love of Jesus. Consider opening your home. And then next, we still have the kindness cards right outside the door. What a blessing it has been to be able to be kind to someone and to leave them one of those cards to show them that God loves them and so do we. I would encourage you to still use those. And then as you sign up here to possibly help us, with our First Impressions team, what we'll ask you to do is simply place that and leave it in your pew. You don't have to hand it to anybody. You're just going to leave it in the seat. It's going to look like trash, but it's not. We're going to come along and pick them up after we're done here in just a few moments. You just leave it right in the seat, and we'll have it. Now, if you're here today and you say, well, I'm a guest, and I don't know if any of this applied to me, what I would say to you, friend, is if you were to look at verse 13 in the scope of all of Romans 12, you will see that Paul, by the power of the Holy Spirit, is building a beautiful case for living out our faith in a practical way. But it all begins with having faith in Jesus. If you're here and you've never given your life to him, you've never received the incredible gift of God's salvation, there's no way you can renew your mind or be transformed yet until Jesus does that work. So friend, if you've never given your life to him, we're gonna sing in a second. I'll be right here, so will Justin. Please come talk to us. We'd love to share with you how you can have Jesus. Maybe for you, though, God's calling you to unite with our faith family, to be an official part of helping us as we want to outdo others in showing honor, as we want to make a difference in our community, as we want to live out kindness and generosity and speak the truth of the gospel. That's you? You come. Maybe, like others recently, you come and say, I have Jesus in my life. I want to follow through with believers' baptism to show that I have Jesus. Whatever God is saying to you, as we move to this time of ministry, I would invite you to prayerfully respond. And then lastly, if you're like me, you love the idea of being hospitable to people, and you've even got someone in mind who you know just needs to be around more believers, but you've been busy. So maybe you would just come and take a second on your knees and just pray and say, God, give me an opportunity and the determination to follow through to be hospitable to this person in some way this week, that I could show them who you are. Would you bow with me? With our heads bowed and eyes closed. Father God, I thank you for such a simple verse. I thank you for the truth of Romans chapter 12, verse 13. Lord, my prayer is that I could contribute more and more to the work of the saints in your kingdom. My prayer is that if there's anyone here that's never done so, that they would do so. This is not so we can have more money here. This is so we can walk in obedience and blessing from you, Father, and that we can be a part of your kingdom's plan. Father, I also pray if there's anyone here like me that we have a desire to be hospitable, but life gets so busy. Lord, may we never miss the fact that life is about relationship, not transactions. So God, in a world that's all about transactions, may we slow down and live in relationship with our neighbors. May we live in relationship with our family. May we live in relationship with friends. May we live in relationship with those near us but not like us. So God, have your way among us today. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's stand together. We're going to sing, "Take My Life and Let It Be."